Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's been a minute. I've been warming up for 2023, but I'm back and I'm very excited. Thank you so much for sticking with this podcast. I've been seeing your messages, getting texts, getting DMs about how you're finding the podcast super helpful. And all I'll say up front is please share this with someone that you know who could benefit from it, just so we can get out there more and reach more people. So yeah, let's get straight into it. So dreaming as a form of manifestation, what's your 2023 vision? More importantly, where is your 2023 vision coming from? So in the busyness of the new year energy, some people are like, yep, January 1st, this is the new year. Other people are like, wait, doesn't the new year start in spring? Like, let's take time, let's actually warm up. Either way, no matter which way you're starting, or no matter which day of the year you're starting, or which month of the year you're starting, there's the whole fresh energy of trying to get your goals in place. And I love it. I've been doing that. I've been taking a lot of time to unwind, plan, and then ramp up back to where I need to be for the year ahead. So I'm super excited. I love any opportunity to start something fresh, whether it's a weekend, whether it's a Monday, whether it's a new hour. So I'm 100% with it. But in the busyness of the new year, or in the new year's energy, also comes loads of like vision board planning parties, tutorials, courses on how to map out your dream life. I literally see endless TikToks about how to make this year your year, how to be that girl this year, how to dominate, etc., etc. And recently on my Instagram stories and also on my reels, I've actually challenged that idea. Before I go on, let me say explicitly that I'm not against vision boarding. I love the act of visualization. I look at mine literally every 2 weeks and I'm constantly creating new ones for like different new ideas that I have. So this is not like an anti-vision board podcast episode. This is really about helping you start to unlock the true vision that will sustain you beyond 2023. This is about creating a vision that is uniquely yours. This is about creating a vision that stands the test of time, that in 10 years you can look back and say, I actually built upon this vision. I actually grew from this vision. Okay, so my issue with vision boarding is typically the source of that vision. I'm gonna repeat it. The issue that I found with most vision boarding is actually the source of that vision. By now we all know, you know, the spiritual science of how writing stuff down ensures that it's more likely to happen. We know the power of visualization. We know the power of write the vision, make it plain. So I'm not here to dispute any of that. All of that is really valuable. But as I've been reading in one of the various books that I've got on my rotation, Beyond Blessed, it talks about how sometimes we can fixate on these images that someone has told us about and rearrange our whole lives to pursue that goal. Which is not a bad thing. Commitment isn't a bad thing. Dedication isn't a bad thing. But if you're going to rearrange your whole life to pursue a goal, which is what zoning in on your vision is, and which is what someone who is ambitious should be doing, you should be taking the necessary steps and sacrifices and building up new habits to get there. The source of the vision matters more than anything, especially if you're going to rearrange your whole life. This phrase really sums it up perfectly. And it's something that someone mentioned to me, I think, when I first started my career, like 1 or 2 years in. And it was, I don't want to climb up a ladder only to realize that it's leaning against the wrong wall. And that is just like so deep, because we spend a lot of time talking about how to move and elevate more. There's a lot of discourse about how to do that. There's less discourse about, am I even against the right wall? Is it even making sense? And that's kind of what I want to just dive into a little bit and challenge with this whole thing about whatever vision you have in your mind, it's going to happen. Whatever you want, you can manifest. The question is, this pursuit that I'm on, this path that I'm on, is it even going in the right direction for me? So that's what kind of gets me, because I feel like in this social media algorithmic world, and to be honest, it's not just social media, like the phrase keeping up with the Joneses existed way, 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 way before we got here and we were living our lives on social media. So this idea that because we are communal creatures as humans, we actually want to move in groups, we want to feel a sense of belonging, all of that is natural. But where we are right now in culture and society is all of that is amplified. We can see way more people's lifestyles, we can see way more people's opinions, we can see way more visions of what's possible and how to make a living. And therefore, when we talk about vision boarding, it becomes really easy to create our lives based on what's current in culture, even if we think that we can escape it, by the way, because I'm someone who thinks, you know, I'm an independent thinker, but I never want to get so carried away and rest on my laurels to the point where I think, actually, nothing affects me, all my ideas are mine. The minute that you think all your ideas are yours, you fall into the trap of actually following other people's ideas. If you actually have a bit of skepticism in your brain and you're like, okay, I'm aware that because of the fact that I'm a human and I consume external information, some of these things, there may be other bits that are kind of latching onto my brain and creating images that aren't directly for me. I just feel like where we are right now in society, from the careers we desire, from the types of relationships, the experiences we want, the barometer has completely changed. Like, even if we just take an example of like relationships and displays of affection, I always wonder when I see like this whole thing of people being like, God, when someone fills a room with 100 roses, I'm like, when was that a barometer for like a good relationship? Or when was that the aspirational image for when your love life has peaked? Like, where did that come from? Why is that the focal point? Why is that the visual? There's nothing wrong with roses. I like flowers. I prefer my flowers in a vase and not necessarily on the floor, but there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm like, do we all really like, first of all, I don't see that many people even introducing the color red into their homes or into their wardrobes. So does somebody really want a whole room filled with red roses? I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. I could be wrong. I could be salty. You guys can tell me if I'm like stretching it too much, but I just really challenge the idea that we all have a picture that is similar. How can all our pictures of what good looks like actually be similar? And it's the same with even food and fitness goals. It expands any kind of place. It could even be just like which promotion you're trying to go after at work. It can be anything. All of it. All of these things can be shaped by external factors that actually don't have a true bearing on your personal life's purpose, your aspirations, your desires. It's so, so easy to create a goal that's misaligned to your path. I would even actually argue that it's the default to actually create goals that are misaligned to your personal journey, because that's what shares so much. It's so easy to kind of go with the flow than to create something for your own. And this became really amplified when I came across a TikTok video where the creator opens it with, everything you want it because a future version of yourself has it. And I was like, hang on a second, is that true? And if you follow me on Instagram or TikTok, you would have seen that I've actually replied to that creator's video, because that statement implies that all of our desires by default are true and right for what we need. They're true and right for who we're becoming, and they're true and right for where we're going. And personally, I'm not buying that. And the reason I'm not buying that is because I don't believe off the bat that we're not influenced by the thousands of ideas, videos, and images that we digest and internalize on a daily basis. That could be in conversation, that could be on TV, that could be online, that could be in passing, that could be you literally walk past someone and you see something and you're like, oh, noted. And how many times, when we even think about the nature of wanting stuff or wanting to achieve or wanting to be a certain way, how many times have you wanted something only to realize that actually when you get it, if you get it, you actually don't care at all, or it doesn't actually change your life in the way that you felt it would when you kind of were feverishly like desiring it. A signpost, but they are not a mandate. And I wanted to pick my words really carefully there, because I think wants and desires are really important. And I think if they come from deep within, that your intuition should honor them and your action should reflect that internal pull. But at the same time, we also live in a world that tells us what to want. And being able to differentiate between those two types of wants is everything. It's the essential thing that stops you from building a life and pursuing a ladder that is actually leaning against the wrong wall. So I'm not gonna belabor the point. I'm sure that by now you're kind of with me. You get my objection around some of the general vision board discussion. And you might be wondering, okay, so when it comes to vision boarding then, is there another way to do it that won't have me chasing other people's needs? And here are some of my thoughts on how to approach it before you get to the vision boarding and the vision casting and the vision creating. Before you get to that process, here are some things to consider and a couple of things that you can do to kind of help you separate your true desires and wants from manufactured stuff. Okay, so let me first start with the mantra that I've been saying for the last couple of months. Dreaming is a form of manifestation. I don't necessarily mean dreaming while you're asleep, although that may happen for some. I mean dreaming in the sense that you open yourself up to receive spiritual downloads that are actually aligned to your life path and not whatever's dominating the cultural consciousness. And you have to conceive that. You can't conjure it. Conceive, not conjure. Conceive, not conjure. What do I mean? What makes sense? So I will give an example actually from myself before I even get into some more spiritual examples. Is in September, I had a vision casting day. I realized that I had reached a lot of goals that I had planned for, that I had been working really hard to achieve. And I was kind of in a bit of a no man's land and I needed a fresh vision of my life to move towards and work towards. And I just took a time out of the day. I took time out for a whole Saturday. I've done a whole podcast about the Sabbath, and I took my Sabbath day and I was like, okay, God, I'm gonna pray, but I'm gonna pray and listen to worship music and journal with the expectation that you and your Holy Spirit will guide me in terms of giving me a new desire, a new want. Remember, we spoke about wants earlier, a new want for the next 5-10 years of my life. So bring the ideas, let's do it, let's kind of co-create together. And in that period, I got some massive, massive downloads and ideas in the process of prayer that really helped me outline specific, I wouldn't call them goals, but specific milestones that would happen in my life. And I'm confident that they are going to happen. They will happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Some of them will happen in 5. I'm aware of some of the ones that will happen in 5, and others will happen in 10. And it helps me to stay calm about the decisions I'm making in the moment or in the present, because I then am less likely to like sell myself short because I know what the big picture is about. But it also gets you kind of excited about what else you're working towards. So that was kind of like my personal vision casting day, and it's something I definitely want to have maybe every quarter or every 6 months. I found it super helpful, and I kind of did it in a mini version in December as well, as I was planning for the new year. And it's important for me to say that that wasn't me praying for ideas that I thought were good and then hoping God would sign them off. That was me coming with an open mind, coming with the state of affairs as they were. So like, I don't know, this is my job situation, this is my financial situation, this is my personal situation, coming with those things and then saying, okay, God, inspire me, give me ideas and tangible actions or milestones that will happen in these contexts, give me advice, and then coming from there. So it wasn't, I want to really emphasize that it wasn't me coming with like, this is my wish list and can you like just make me feel better about it. This was me coming super, super open and receiving downloads. So when we talk about receiving downloads, other examples in the Bible, which is obviously a big reference for me, especially because I find that even though the cultural context has changed, the principles, the human and spiritual principles are the same, and it has proved timeless time and time again. So when I look at the Bible, the most important moments are received, as I've said, and conceived by the individual. So when I say conceived, it literally means received and birthed within, not conjured. Conjured is like made up, right? So that's what I mean by conceived, not conjured. And it's never based on their like desires, wants and needs, the big picture stuff. There might be other wants and needs that God answers. I'm not talking about that in prayer. I'm talking about the vision for your life. A vision is a big picture goal that you're aiming towards. I'm not talking about, God, I need a new job. I desire a new job. I need it. I'm going to pray for it. That's fine. I'm talking about the big vision, the big picture, the long-term view. The difference between this whole idea of conceiving and conjuring is also kind of like a representation of masculine versus feminine energy. And I know that even as I've said that, some people on this might like cringe a bit because that phrasing has become so kind of cringe in general culture, but it's something I want to get into in a future episode, hopefully soon, because I don't know everything about the topic, but I am learning and I find it so interesting. But anyway, so back to my biblical example. So Joseph, straight off the bat. So Joseph was a young boy, the youngest of brothers at the time, and he had a series of dreams that he would be in a high, high, high position of leadership. From the information provided, those dreams did not come from him having a vision board or having these goals that he wanted to be in charge over his brothers. Remember, I said he was the youngest. It just said that he actually had dreams. You can't conjure up your own dreams. You can only download them. So it's quite a literal example of where the spiritual downloads come from, where the spiritual conception of vision comes from. And at the end, years later, I think it was like 18 years later or so, he ended up being responsible for overseeing and leading Egypt through a severe recession. And he was also able to help his family in that. And he didn't look around thinking, what's the next 2 decades of my life going to look like? These are my ideas. It was given. And he held on to it. And how we know he held on to it was because of some of the conduct and behavior that he had when he was kind of in the low points of his life. And it all manifested. Now, it's important for me to say that looking for inspiration or external sources to help you anchor your vision is not bad. This whole podcast episode is about what is the source of the vision. So you can, for example, even when I said on my vision casting weekend that I had the other, I had way back in September, I had a vision download, but in that download, some of the references were real life references, you know? So like, let's say I reference like a business that I admired. That's okay. We're communal beings. We're made to also take in what's around us. But the first mandate of what that business would be came from God. And then I was able to then understand the picture of what it could be like as I likened it to something that I knew that exists right now in real life. So I'm not against inspiration. It's important. It just isn't the source. It can be a source, but it's not the source, capital T, capital S. I also think Mary, the mother of Jesus, is like a good example of this. Like, she literally conceived this child with the guidance of God. And actually, so did many other people in the Bible when it comes to actually having a child, which is a super interesting conversation about family planning and how spiritual it is. But that's another topic for a podcast that's not even this podcast. I don't think I'm quite yet there to have that conversation. But the text reads in Luke, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So you can see that there's this element of like the Holy Spirit's coming, overshadowing her, giving her the power to bear this child. And Mary's receiving it by saying, "I'm your servant, may your word to me be fulfilled." She's receiving it by accepting, by taking it on. And I guess also making herself available to actually have a child, as we all know, have a child out of wedlock and have to have that conversation with her fiance and all these different things. But took that on and stewarded that child to physical conception, into birth, into adulthood. So in these two examples of like Mary and Joseph, not Joseph, Mary's Joseph, but Joseph from hundreds of years before then, there's an element of alignment and collaboration with God. It's the spiritual that kicks off the process of bringing certain events and ideas to fruition. We participate in our physicality, but again, it's not the starting point. It's not something that we create, it's something that we conceive, we form, and we devise it, and we bring it to life. If we also bring it up to some modern examples, I also saw Oprah say something similar in an interview that she had with Essence, which I've posted on my Instagram. And they ask her, you know, like, what's next for Oprah? And obviously, like, she's Oprah, right? Like, one of the first black female billionaires. She's Oprah. I don't need to do more of an explanation. And she says, "I live in God's dream for me. And my goal, what's next for me, is to continue to actualize God's dream for me." So you can see this whole concept of like, yes, you are in the driver's seat of your life. Yes, you live on your own terms. But all those terms are actually set by God, set spiritually. Yes, you're in the driver's seat of your own life, but the car is not yours. The road is not yours, right? This whole dynamic. And this also happened with the late Virgil Abloh. Naomi Campbell asked him in an interview, "How did you get this job?" You know, he was the head of menswear for Louis Vuitton, which was, you know, a very big first. And he just said, "I dreamt about it." And this whole idea of dreaming is a metaphor for the fact that we live in this space where we have a strong interplay between our physicality and our spirituality. And that spirituality isn't something that we can control. And I think that's a good thing. They dreamt it in this example of Oprah and Virgil and many more people. They dreamt it. They live in God's dream for their lives, and their purpose and their work in this world is to collaborate and use the physical tools and also the spiritual tools available to bring that to reality every day and to continue to build on that and to continue to take territory and continue to grow. So that's the first thing, which is about understanding that this is a participation. It's a spiritual and physical participation. It's a spiritual and physical collaboration. It's an ongoing discussion almost between these two sides of you, the physicality and the spirituality, the masculine and the feminine. These two dynamics are at play together, not separately. You and God, they are together. They, and actually not just are they together, but it's kicked off in the spiritual. There's a verse, I think it's in Galatians, maybe Galatians 3:33, and it says, you know, how can you be so foolish? That's something that began in the spirit, you think you're going to continue in the flesh. And again, it's this idea that things really of value, things that are of value, are initiated in the spirit. They are supported by the flesh, but the spirit continues to oversee the end-to-end process. Secondly, when I think about my life and the life of people that I admire, you're also able to identify the difference between authentic wants, let's call them, and those that align with your soul, your spirit, your life's purpose, and manufactured ones that come from external pictures and pressures. I have also noticed that they can sometimes be natural inclinations, natural gifts that you've had for a long time that have stood the test of time. I know that for me, my passion in all things that are creative and culturally significant isn't based on the social media generation, because I have memories of these passions from when I was like 5 years old, way before the pressure of the algorithm took its toll, even way before school context could have really even shaped that. And I know that the path that I'm on wasn't imposed on me like during my upbringing, nor was I ever told or subtly guided towards these life choices. Another way to discern whether a desire is truly yours is whether or not you're willing to travel down a path that feels emotionally risky. If you have a strong conviction to follow something other people don't understand or laugh at, that's a great way to tell you're doing it on your own spiritual terms versus based on whatever's dominating the culture at the time. I'm personally on a quest to have a life that I feel satisfied and fulfilled in. And for me, the highest form of fulfillment and satisfaction comes in, to borrow the words from Oprah, to live in God's dream for me. Over the last couple of years, every day I felt so lucky to say that I'm already living in that. And my goal is to continue to build upon that and to stay focused on this path, irrespective of what challenges may come or what trends may look more appealing at a given point in time. The goal is to always resist the temptation to follow the crowd and activate life on my own terms. That's what matters. So thanks for listening, everyone. Really excited to be back. Let me know your thoughts on the pod. Tag me on social media. My social handle across pretty much all platforms is at ABXOLA. And if you'd like to know more, either subscribe on my website. It's abiola.me/subscribe, and also get the book if you haven't got it yet.